It's 18 minutes before 1 o'clock. So on the front page of the Star newspaper is this shocking story about students who resort to loan sharks because they are desperate and haven't received their NSFAS allowances as yet. That's what the paper is reporting. And if you're a student or a parent of a student who is affected by this, I will take your calls on 011-883-0702 in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. But basically, some students are apparently still battling to get their allowances that they have now been forced to borrow money from loan sharks who in return charge them up to 10% interest a week. And remember, there have been those violent protests recently in some parts of the country over the non-payment of allowances. Let's now speak to the NSFAS administrator, Dr. Randall Karalison. Thank you so much for your time and welcome to the Xolani Gwala Show. Students are saying NSFAS has left them high and dry. Have you paid their allowances? What's happening?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity to clarify. So, beginning of February, late January, we paid over funds to institutions to exactly assist students as they come into the system that they have money to live off, especially in the first few months. Because we were aware of the problems that we had last year, we still only got the money in August. So for this particular story, we did pay over money to University of Johannesburg of 320 million rand to pay to students. We are aware that they have contacted and they are working with this particular student to actually find out whether this is indeed a NSFAS student or a NSFAS approved student. And once we have the information, we will follow up. But we are tracking the disbursements in its entirety from NSFAS, from the money that we gave to institutions. We paid up close to 3.5 billion rand to institutions to assist students as they come into the system. And where that doesn't happen, we actually do actively follow up with institutions as to why they don't pay over the money.
So
yes, we have to check each case, yes, and it's unfortunate the students have to go and live like this, but we are doing our best to make sure that the money gets to institutions through the onwards to the students.
Yeah. So the money then gets to the institutions, but what are you doing to also make sure that it eventually gets to the students? Because what I'm hearing from you then is that in some instances, universities are required to transfer the funds to the students that have been received from NSFAS.
Yes. So it's actually a bit more complicated than this because we give the money to the institutions, they register the students, and they can see our systems which students do qualify for NSFAS. And when those students qualify for NSFAS, they are not required to pay registration fees, and then the money must be processed to release the upfront payment to the students. Now, we are aware that some universities are battling to get registrations completed and provide that through to us to check. But where we are able to check, we actually see how much of the money we actually have flown to students. And when the flow is not satisfactory, we do contact those institutions and say, what's happening, you know? Why don't you get the money through to those institutions? And where we have to intervene, we actually did intervene. So in the case of some of the 20 TVET colleges, we realized that they will not get the money to institutions. We have devised a NSFAS wallet where NSFAS actually pay directly to students. So we do intervene where there are problems.
Yeah, just explain to us how these allowances actually work and who qualifies for what. Because I remember at TUT a few weeks ago, there was also a protest by students who were complaining that they qualify for NSFAS, but because they stay at home, they are not getting some allowances that they say they're entitled to.
Oh, so first of all, I think it would be useful to mention the fact that there's a rules and guidelines which guide the execution of allowances by NSFAS. So the Department of Higher Education consults with us and with the students, and then they publish rules and guidelines as to who qualifies for what. And once that is published, NSFAS then approves it according to those rules and guidelines. But just to quickly take you through, if you stay within 30 kilometers of your institution, you qualify for a travel allowance of 10,000 rand and also book allowance of 5,000 rand. If you stay outside of that radius, you qualify for accommodation, books, and a living allowance. Now, we are aware that this is probably a very harsh cut-off. It is difficult to administer. And therefore, in some institutions where we have, especially the rural institutions and institutions in townships where there are not sufficient accommodations, those we work with those institutions to then come to some form of solution. And we are working very hard with TUT at the moment to resolve some of this crisis. To the extent that TUT initially started off with 20,000 students that did not have accommodation, I believe the latest figure is that they have found 6,000 accommodation spaces that are accredited, which will now be entering the MISTRAS system. So we are working, in addition to what I just said to you, with institutions to try and resolve, because we don't want our students not to be properly accommodated and properly allowed for. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to address this problem. But we are working within the guidelines that is issued by the Department of Education. We cannot go outside of the guidelines because we are ordered to along the guidelines.
Dr. Randall Karalison, the NSFAS administrator, look, thank you so much for your time. It's 13 minutes before 1 o'clock.